Hey, welcome to Parlapod, the world's only Swamp Thing podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Dave Schultz, and as always, I am joined by my co-host, Mr. John Benedict. Say hey there, Johnny.
What's going on, David? How you been, man?
I'm doing pretty good, actually. You know, no complaints about life, but I do want to talk about someone else first because rumor has it there was a birthday down in the bayou, and that birthday belonged to nobody, none other than you.
That is true.
How was the B-Day, brother? How was it?
It was great. It was probably the best birthday I've ever had. I am officially 1 year away from being the official middle age. They're calling middle age now 40. So I just turned 39.
Get out of here.
But I have to say, my wife made this the absolute best birthday in the world that I've ever had. Would you like to know how?
I know how because I'm a member of the Parliament of Trees Facebook group, which everybody out there listening should join. But I think you should tell every listener out there exactly why she put the icing on your cake.
Well, my wife, in secret, did probably the most awesome thing anybody has ever done for me. She secretly was talking with Swamp Thing artist Kelly Jones for a few months, and she commissioned him to do an all original piece just for me for my birthday for a gift.
Amazeballs.
And it is gorgeous. It is so awesome. It's so fucking awesome.
Yeah, I know. You're right. It is really awesome. And, you know, usually if a husband finds out that his wife was talking to someone in secret, especially a man, you know, they'd be a little upset. But, you know, this turned out to be something fantastic.
It really is. I got it. I actually got it right above my writing workstation, and actually where I record my end of the podcast. So I look up to it for inspiration. And it is probably the most mind-blowing, perfect image I could imagine. It is a Swamp Thing, and he is drowning zombies in the swamp. And he's actually using a tree as a leverage so he doesn't fall in. And there's like a graveyard behind him. Kelly, he just went all out, man. The shadows in here, you know, anybody that's seen Kelly's work knows he does a phenomenal job on his shadowing. His blacks are just fantastic. And the anatomy on this Swamp Thing is fucking so rad, dude. It's like he's got, you know, he's got the abs, he's got the pecs, he's just got, you know, the shadows in all the right places. He's just big and menacing, and it's awesome. It's like my most favorite thing in the world right now.
Kelly's a friend of the show. We've had him on. If you haven't heard that interview, go back into our backlogs and check that out, because he's a really rad dude, awesome down-to-earth guy, and an amazing artist.
Yeah, and I want him back.
I think he will be. He seemed very eager to come back on soon. So
yeah, I want him back. He is such a cool guy. I could have talked to him all day.
And that's really awesome that your wife did that. I got to say that she definitely deserves the Wife of the Year Award.
She does.
For scoring an original Kelly Jones piece.
Like nobody has ever done anything that nice for me before. So a huge thank you to my wife, Leanna, and a huge thank you to Kelly Jones. You know, I love them both. They're both great people. So
I got a question, though. Did she give it to you exactly on your birthday or a day before?
No, she gave it to me the morning of my birthday.
Wow. That's a tough one to keep a secret.
Oh, yeah. And she had been keeping it a secret for a long time. She even had it, I think, delivered to her at work. So I went and find it.
Uh-huh. And you're not the kind of spouse to check her phone or anything either, right?
So no.
She wasn't like having these conversations with Kelly and then having to delete them.
Right,
just
right.
Just so you wouldn't find out that, you know.
Currently. I have no reason to doubt my wife on anything. So she's a great lady.
Yeah, of course. No, I'm not trying to imply otherwise, but still. I mean, I the only reason
even,
why...
Even more so
well,
now.
Well, yeah. But I mean, I bring it up just because, you know, if it's me, it's hard to kind of keep something that awesome a secret. You really just want to give it to someone early.
Right.
Or maybe drop some hints or something. So that's a testament to your wife that she actually held on to the secret that long to surprise you on the morning of your birthday.
Yeah.
Because she knew it was going to make your freaking lifetime. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's awesome. She went ahead and she put it in a special art frame. She had it custom framed.
Mm-hmm.
And the art frame, it's I guess it's called a floating frame. And,
yeah,
and,
right.
And so it's when you put the picture in, when it's framed, it's like the glass only touches the edges, and the middle portion where the actual art is never actually touches the glass, so it doesn't degrade the image as bad. And then it's also cool because where there's glass on the back of it too, you can turn it over, and Kelly wrote an awesome little birthday message for me on the back of the picture, so he could keep the picture clean on the front.
Right.
And I went ahead and I have the image absolutely everywhere right now. It's my Facebook profile. It's on my cell phone, you know, as the background. Huh. So I just look at it all the time for inspiration. So this is literally the best gift I've ever gotten, and I highly doubt it'll ever be outdone. Now the hard part is I'm actually trying to figure out what to get her for either Christmas or her birthday to outdo this. I need a one-upper now.
I didn't even think about that. You're fucked. You're screwed, man.
I am
you
fucked.
Know, how are you going to do that?
Outdo this for her.
Yeah, unless you put like a bow on a car or freaking, I don't know, a diamond yeah, ring. I don't even know, you know. So what else has been going on with you? What have you been picking up? What have you been looking at?
Well, I actually, funny you should bring that up. I actually was able to hit up my local comic shop, Heroes Realm, in Lexington, Kentucky.
Right on.
Kelly, you know, I've really been wanting to support him and everything he does. And that's an initiative right now that I'm trying to get going in the Parliamentary's Facebook group is, you know, I want to, anybody that has had anything to do with Swamp Thing, I really want to support them in all their endeavors, you know, all the way across the board. Even though it was probably an important part of their life, they've moved on to other projects or they've done other projects. So Kelly, like I said, love him to death, want to go back and pick up some of his older work and support him. I was lucky enough to find the first prints of the two Dead Men series that he worked on, with Mike Baron.
Yeah, those are excellent.
Yeah, they are. And the first set is called Love After Death. And then the second set is called Exorcism. And then apparently these were reprinted a few years later into one book, I think.
Right.
I forget what the one book was called, but then coming in January of this coming January, they have a gallery edition of this coming out with, I guess, like extra art and, you know, kind of like the sketches and stuff that went into it. And I'm kind of thinking about picking it up, you know, for $125 and being able to get that. That'd be pretty sweet. But anyway, so about this book, it's written by a guy named Mike Baron, who I went back and I looked at some of his stuff. He's been doing a character, I believe, called Badger, a comic called Badger for a while, and also a character called Nexus.
Badger's batshit crazy, man. If you've never read Badger, you should go check it out. It's
good
book.
I've never read it, but I think I'm going to go read both of them now. And
yeah, he's an excellent writer.
He does novels too. So I saw a couple posts of his online today, and where he was recommending if you like Kelly Jones and my Dead Man books, you would like this.
Actually, when you tell me you picked these up, these were first editions, is that the owner of your local comic book store, Heroes Realm, Stephen Etherton, is a huge, huge Dead Man fan, Kelly Jones Dead Man fan. I'm surprised you could wrangle those away from him.
Well, he has his own set.
Yeah, I mean, he drools, literally drools over Dead Man in the Parliament group. So now, since Swamp Thing doesn't currently have an ongoing, he is appearing in the most recent Hellblazer series, the Hellblazer Rebirth books from DC. And we both had a chance to read Hellblazer 2.
Thank you, DC.
Yes, thank you, DC. And full disclosure, to let people know right off the bat, Swampy doesn't appear a whole heck of a lot in this issue. Actually, barely at all. Only in the first few pages.
He doesn't, but I think they're leading up to it.
Right.
And we're two issues in, technically three, if you go by the Rebirth issue, which is more of a Zero issue.
Mm-hmm.
Two issues with Swampy. And the way that I've been reading it so far, it almost kind of seems like even though Swampy's not in it much, it's leading up to that story. It almost kind of seems like they're co-stars of this book, it kind of seems. Because like maybe more so the first one than this one. This one, it kind of seemed like it was part Swamp Thing story, part Constantine story.
Yeah, the last issue, you're right. That one, that was the one that really impressed me. And that had a whole ton of Swampy action.
Yeah. Number one was great.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The first Rebirth issue there that I wasn't impressed with. We had talked about that last pod.
Right.
But the official number one knocked my socks off. I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of looking for the same in this one. So that's why I did the whole full disclosure thing. Because anybody thinking they're going to be picking up, Hellblazer co-starring Swampy, it's not happening in this issue. But like you said, not saying it's not going to continue.
Yeah, this issue was more divided. It was like you had your Swamp Thing part at the beginning, then the back half was Constantine.
And honestly, I had no issues with that because I found this issue highly enjoyable.
Yeah, it was fine. It almost kind of, even though it's like kind of the same story leading into each other, it kind of reminded me of like... I guess like maybe those kind of like anthology books where like the first half would be one set of stories and the second half would be another set of stories. Kind of reminded me of that setup.
I got to ask you something because the cover.
Yeah.
I don't know how many covers were released on this issue.
Two, I believe.
Yeah. The cover that I had access to was the one with, of course, Swampy, Constantine are on the cover, but they're on the cover with Mercury and... another character in the book, and she's on a motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that weird. At any point in the story so far, has she been on a motorcycle?
Yes, when she first rides up in the Rebirth issue to stop Laughing Boy, the demon Laughing Boy, he was, she rides up on a motorcycle. So I think that's why.
Thank you for refreshing my memory, because I was searching so hard. I was trying like in my mind to connect it for some way to Swamp Thing. I was like, oh, New 52 issue 3, Abby's on a motorcycle on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that has something to do with this. But now you've just, again, refreshed my memory. So it has probably nothing to do with that whatsoever. So I wasted 15 minutes of my life thinking about it.
As far as covers go, of course, we get review copies through DC, so we get the digital copies. Thank you again, DC. But we're also huge supporters of Swamp Thing, so, you know, we'll go ahead and we'll buy whatever it is that that he has in physical form, because, you know, we want to support the character, and we want the character to live on, and we want DC to see the numbers and see that, you know, hey, people are actually reading this so that, you know,
right,
we can get more Swamp Thing series. So issue one of this, the physical copy, I got the Cassidy cover, the John Cassidy cover.
Right.
And I believe John Cassidy did the cover for number two, the variant for number two I have. I don't know if you've seen it. It's really cool, and I like it better than the official cover that you got. I'm sorry, I do. It's Constantine on one side smoking his cigarette, and Swampy's in the middle. It almost looks like Swampy's the centerpiece of this cover, only it's kind of like a different version that I've seen before. Like, he's really mossy. He's like almost furry, kind of like Moss Man from the old He-Man toys. And then on the other side, there's a skull. But I really like it. It's more of a, if you can believe it, it's more of a realistic looking take, if that makes sense.
Yeah, he's fuzzy. He's fuzzy. He looks like Scratch and Sniff.
Which that would be a cool gimmick, you know, if they decide to go
for
back to the 90 gimmicks. Yeah, Scratch and Sniff, man.
Scratch and Sniff a Swampy cover. What the hell?
That's enough about the covers, you know. You ready to talk about some stories?
Hells yes.
All right, so
that was probably the most unenthusiastic hell's yes I ever gave. let me revise that. Hell yeah! Hell yeah! Let's do some Hellblazer, baby, right here on Parlapod.
That's much better.
Thank you, thank you.
So, first couple of pages, you know, it's Swamp Thing and Mercury, the girl from the bike. They're actually in the green. I don't know if you picked that up. But that's why everything's so beautiful and growing there. And Mercury, I don't know much about this character because I'm kind of ashamed to say it. But I didn't read the original Hellblazer Vertigo series. And maybe I should have. And I didn't read the new 52 run of Hellblazer. I did read him in Justice League Dark. You know, I've read him in his appearances in Swampy's book, but apparently Mercury is a character that she's kind of an adult woman now, but she used to be a child when she met John Constantine initially. Apparently, my first vibe I got from her was she was psychic, and I guess not only is she psychic, she's also kind of magical. Because she's talking to Swampy and they're, you know, trying to figure out about Abby. But they're talking about Constantine. She's talking about when they met. And apparently, when she was a kid, she lived in weird kind of world, like an alternate world. Is that right?
Well, they say it was a convoy, and they kind of allude to the fact that it's, almost like gypsies.
It kind of seemed like it was in another realm or something, because she was talking about how they were all magical, I think.
Yeah, according to some of the – because I didn't read a lot of the early Hellblazer stuff either. Mm-hmm. And from me just looking up, you know, Googling her, it says that she first appeared in Hellblazer 14.
Oh, that is early issue.
Yeah, and she was part of like – like we were just saying, like a group of like hippies,
okay,
in the United Kingdom, and yeah, she had like these psychic powers, and
it was the real world then. It wasn't like some sort of fantasy land or something like
no,
that.
No, yeah, no, it was based in the real world, or as real as it gets in a comic book.
She seems like an interesting character, and it, you know, it seems like enough to make me want to go back and you know, actually read more about her.
But well, you see right there, right out the gate, if you think about it, it's like, you know, the writer Simon Oliver, he's not only doing a nod, and we were very happy about this last issue, to the continuity, mm-hmm. that nowadays we're not sure what the hell is going on with it. So it seems that just by having Mercury appear in the book as an adult, he's throwing back to Hellblazer's continuity.
Yeah, he's tying that in too.
Right, just like he's done with the Swamp Thing stuff, and especially right in the beginning here, like we're talking about the conversation, the new 52 stuff,
mm-hmm.
because they address the fact that Abby is an avatar and that they will have to find her, have to travel to the Rot.
Yeah, I mean, they really are addressing a lot of continuity in this book for both characters.
Oh, so good, man. I mean, just from a Swampy fan, like I said, I can't say I know a whole shit ton about Hellblazer other than his appearances in Swamp Thing stuff. Mm-hmm. But just as a Swamp Thing fan, it's freaking awesome. I love it. I love it.
But I like this. I like this scene. How's it plays out? It's like, you know, maybe 4 or 5 pages of Swampy and Mercury just talking in the green, trying to figure shit out, how to go and find Abby, because that's, you know, basically Swampy's whole reason for being. But I think also, too, you know, he kind of alludes to the fact that Abby did leave him. And I right. think he's alluding to the fact when she, I think it's alluding to the fact when she left him when they had Tefe, you know, when Tefe uh-huh. got taken away. I think he's alluding to that. But then he brought up the new 52 also. So my thing is, I really think that they're going to bring Tefe back. I just get that feeling.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, it would.
But they also say that, like, he can't trust her anymore. He used to be able to.
Right.
So that kind of makes you wonder, what at what point did they lose trust? Is it from what run are they referring to? Like you said, when they broke up with the whole Tefe thing in the Mark Millar era.
Mm-hmm.
But then they talk about her being in the Rot, but then they had to separate during the New 52 stuff too.
Right.
Being that he was from the Green, she was from the Rot, they were not destined to be together. So I don't know. I'm very interested to see on how and if so at all they try to clear up what continuity they're using and how they're going to tie it together.
I think they're doing it a little bit at a time. And again, this is what I think is going to come out of the whole Rebirth thing. We already know Rebirth is projected to go on for 2 years, and it's leading up to something. My prediction is it'll lead up to a battle with the Watchmen, which, you know, in several of the books, there's been Watchmen clues. Even in this issue, there's a little bit of a Watchmen clue in here for anybody that's caught it. But I really think at the end of that, of course, DC, those heroes are going to win over the Watchmen because, you know, Watchmen is dark and brooding, and DC is, they're trying to get it back full of hope. So I really think that when that battle happens, that certain characters will be like, okay, we've gradually had continuity restored or memories from the 10 years or whatever restored.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll solidify those histories. Like they'll be like at the end of it, they'll be like, well, okay, now that we beat the Watchmen, we remember that this happened. We remember that that happened. And I really think that that's where they're going with the whole initiative. They just, you know, in the time of the New 52, they had some good, they had some bad. It's taken time with Rebirth to fix it and address it. So I like the fact that they're doing it slow over time. So you're gradually finding out, you know, basically what counts and what matters. But whereas Swampy's concerned, I consider, you know, every Swampy story matters because, you know, he's always changing and adapting. So any of it could really happen. But that's where I'm at with the Rebirth aspect of it. Something I want to talk about real quick before we quit talking about these pages with Swampy in it.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? Moritat's art.
Yeah.
I know we've talked about it being kind of, I guess, inconsistent, more so in the initial Rebirth issue than the last issue and then this one, even though it was a little bit last issue too.
Yeah, I remember that.
But I will say these pages with Swampy and Mercury in the Green, they're pretty solid. They're pretty consistent. It's like she looks good. His lines are clean. And Swampy actually looks good in these pics too. So it's, I don't know. I think he did a really good job on these pages here.
For me, take it or leave it. I my opinion didn't change from this issue on his art.
Uh-huh.
I think it's suitable. It's fine, but it's not something that would draw me into the book.
Some stuff he's drawing kind of realistic, like Marco, who you know, co-hosts Splurch, our sister podcast for us, you know. Like he kind of said, you know, in the Rebirth issue, Moritat drew Wonder Woman very well, you know, almost flawlessly, you know, very clean. Mm-hmm. And then other stuff he drew in kind of a different style. So I'm not sure if he's just playing around with his style, seeing what he can do. Some of the stuff almost kind of reminds me of, I don't know if you know an artist named Jim Mahfood. I think I'm saying that right.
Yeah, he did the Clerks books.
Yeah, he did the Clerks books. He did, was it Gen X or whatever? It had Banshee. Was it like a teacher in it and Emma Frost?
Yeah, that was Gen X.
He did a one-shot of that book that I really liked, and it was kind of like set up like an indie book. And it almost seems like sometimes when he draws the more human characters, he kind of goes into that style, the Jim Mahfood style. And it goes from being kind of realistic to somewhat more cartoony, which I like it. I just wish personal feelings, pick maybe one style or another and kind of stick with it. because it kind of seems like it shifts ever so often throughout the book. And, you know, if it was just Swampy, then I could justify it because Swampy's always changing. But he's been pretty consistent with how he's drawn Swampy. It's the human characters.
They look a little funky.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, back to the art, just for me personally, I just said I don't like variants. It's been many years. Like when I was a kid, I'd buy a book based on art, but now I'm a story, strictly a story kind of guy. So there's very few artists I can think of now. I mean, Kelly Jones, of course, being one of them, that would be something that would pique my interest enough to check it out based on art alone. So the story has to be good for me. That's why with this, just if I just picked it up and flipped through it, I'd be like, meh, you know, nothing. There's nothing about Moritat that makes me want to go look or research more of his stuff. Sorry to say it. Again, I'm not trying to be mean, but just my personal preference.
I'm not saying he's bad. He does a better job than me. It just seems his style seems to change.
Yeah, exactly. I find it inconsistent as well. And I'm not a big fan of his stuff. I can't say he's really rocking it for me, you know. But
I do think he draws a good Swampy. I'll say that. It's just the human characters.
Yeah, I think Swampy's adequate. That's where we might just disagree. You know, like you think he does a good Swampy. I think it's average. The whole thing with this book so far is the art has been okay, but the story has been what has really carried it for me and got me really interested, especially, again, with last issue. And this issue, I found the story to be very, very good as well.
Yeah. Once they got over the hump of the Rebirth issue, which, you know, I know what it was. It was an issue to just set up the status quo. You know, that's all it was. They had to get from where they were previously to point A so they could start this series. So essentially it was a glorified zero issue. But issues one and two have been good. I've enjoyed reading them.
Okay. And back to the story. That was pretty much all there was on Swamp Thing in the entire book.
Yeah.
Just that little conversation in the green, and then we get right into John Constantine sitting on the throne.
Yeah, sitting on the throne. When we get back to Swampy next issue, I think they'll be in the Rot. Him and Mercury are going to venture into the Rot. But yeah, Constantine is on the toilet, dropping a deuce, reading the newspaper, and his buddy Chaz walks in. You know, it's basically like, hey, my wife has left because you're kind of an asshole, dude. You need to, you know, kind of get a job, do something.
Yeah, get the hell out. Right. It's time to move out, buddy. Stop leeching.
It's like, I'm your friend. I'm your best buddy. Constantine gives him a wad of dough. And so Chaz actually thinks that Constantine is giving him a wad of money has like a thank you, and Constantine's basically like, yeah, go put this on a horse for me, you know, because no bookie will have me. And the horse was kind of funny. It was Boris Johnson's Knob. And, you know, Knob, of course, is another name for penis. So
what?
Apparently this horse's name is Boris Johnson's Penis. So
get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. That's no what the kids way. Are Not- calling it.
So, oh, all those kids with their friggin' Nintendo games and their funny terminology.
Their penny whistles and moon pies, man.
Yeah, come on.
So we get to this middle portion of the book, and I was a little confused by this just because I don't have that Constantine knowledge. But as I understand it, you did a little bit of research on what's going on here with this everlasting dinner party.
Well, I didn't really look up the everlasting dinner party. I just looked up some of the references that kind of eluded me when I read it the first time. And to be honest with you, some of them were just British references because, hey, I'm American. You know what I mean? So I was like, "What? Who the hell are they talking about?" This whole part of the story I found the most interesting because it kind of – tells you, or actually it does tell you, what's going on and why Swamp Thing is important. Because not only – well, let me back it up a little bit. As you noticed, he went to this never-ending dinner party with this woman, Clarice, who seems to be some kind of elite in the occult world, especially in Britain. And he goes to meet with her and talk with him. And even at that point in time, he's a little – he finds it odd that he just defeated this demon and basically put everybody's life in danger, and no one has bothered him about it. No one's come knocking on his door to kind of give him a hard time.
Right. everybody's like, yeah, fuck that dude.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you think, you know, someone would show up and be like, dude, what the fuck was that? But no, you know, he acts like a cocky prick because she's like, you know, you challenge this demon and you put all of us at risk. And he's like, and I won, by the way. Haha, you know, mm-hmm. Which he did. But she mentions, hey, don't you think maybe you defeated this demon, but you think you're this big winner, but it was at the benefit of somebody else, some other party. And by doing that, you're helping them out more than even yourself. And he's like, huh, really? You think so? And she invites him to meet said person, to which he declines.
Right.
He has no interest on meeting this basically who is the benefactor of him. The demon's name was what now? Nibus? I had it written down over here somewhere.
We
can
call him Nibus. I think Constantine called him Laughing Boy at first because they didn't have his name. So we can just call him Laughing Boy. Our listeners
yeah,
will know.
Laughing Boy, Nibus, whatever, the demon. So yeah, he declines to meet this person. And like I said, when I did some of the research, is because he says like he brings up the names Maggie T and Norman Tebbit. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, who the hell is that? But of course, they're politicians in Britain.
Right.
So thank you, Google. Thanks a bunch.
Which, you know, Oliver, Simon Oliver, who writes this book, he is British, to my understanding. So, you know, he's a British writer writing a British character, putting in British things. So.
And this dumb American didn't know what the hell he was talking about.
Me either. I was lost in that aspect. But that's what the internet is for.
But after he decides to leave, he declines the invitation. He's leaving. She hits him with a part of a poem, a William Blake poem.
Mm-hmm.
That was in what you had mentioned earlier as far as maybe the mentioning of the Watchmen.
Yep. Yeah, there are all these references to Watchmen in all the Rebirth books going on. I mean, they're layered throughout. You just have to look for them. Anyway, continue.
That again, this is a William Blake poem from the book America, A Prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe she said, "The morning comes, the night decays, the Watchmen leave their stations."
Mm-hmm.
But again, the interesting thing about that is, do you really believe that's a coincidental mention of the Watchmen? And it was more based on the William Blake quote or, you know, I wonder about that. Like, it was just like me with the cover when we first started talking about this issue. Mm-hmm. Maybe we're reading too much into it.
There have been times when I would have said that DC has absolutely no idea what they're doing, but everything.
What?
Yeah. Everything is happening, it seems so, by the book, with at least the Rebirth aspect, that I really think that they are putting all this stuff in about the Watchmen on purpose. Because, I mean, it's obvious that, you know, because of the Rebirth special that came out that started the whole thing, that the Watchmen are involved. And now, all of a sudden, you got all these Watchmen references and books and clocks and quotes and Watchmen stuff. So, I you know, it's all on purpose.
And after he leaves, you find out that the person behind all of this was the guy from the first issue who killed his brother, who seemingly might...
The Rebirth issue.
Yeah, might be immortal. We don't know. But right now we know he lives a really long time. And his name was Marid.
Marid.
And that's when you also find out Marid has a need for some reason for Swampy. We don't know what for, but he cannot locate him, and he believes he needs John Constantine to do so.
Mm-hmm. And it all leads back into Swampy being in the book, which is, you know,
right,
kind of cool. So, you know, I at least think for probably, I don't know how long this arc's going to go on, but I think for the, you know, first six issues at least of this book, hell, maybe even for the first year, I think Swamp Thing's going to be a huge part of this book. I really do.
Well, this storyline runs for what, four issues?
Maybe four. And what is this called? Poison Truth?
Yes, the Poison Truth. I believe this one runs for 4. I could be wrong.
Do we know what the next story arc is called?
No, I haven't looked at the solicits to see what it's going to be.
Because, I mean, it could just lead into something else with Swampy.
It could. It could. I mean, well, actually, by that point, we hope Swampy has his own ongoing. Just to finish up this story real quick, because the rest of it's pretty wham-bam, thank you, ma'am. He leaves a dinner party. He's followed by two goons.
They're twins, right? They're really creepy-looking twins?
Yeah, they're fucking weird-looking guys, and he realizes pretty much right off the bat they're too fast, and they're more than meets the eye. Not Transformers, mind you, but they're definitely not human.
Mm-hmm.
They follow him into the subway tunnels. To which he's trying to, he says he's going to visit a friend once he shakes these guys off. It seems that he's done that. You see a pentagram on the map of the subway. He goes down a corridor, opens a door, and falls into darkness. Bum, bum, bum. Wait till next issue to see what the hell is going on.
It's one of those things, like, I'm actually really excited to see how Constantine's story and Swamp Thing's story crosses over. I think before that happens, I think we'll see Swampy and Mercury's adventures in the Rot. And maybe Constantine has to go into the Rot to kind of help them. And when they get out, maybe we'll see what's going on with Marid and why he needs Swampy. And maybe that'll be the next arc.
It could be. But you know, John, I'm going to tell you something. I want to do a quick commercial break. Because I want to come back and I want to tell you something that's really got me kind of jazzed up about this book right now. And it kind of ties into what's going to happen in an ongoing. Sound good?
Sounds great.
Are you afraid of what goes bump in the night?
Have you or your friends ever pondered a conspiracy?
Do you want to know more about the unknown?
If so, then put on your tinfoil hat, sit down, and pick up your computer, tablet, or phone. Go to iTunes or YouTube and search for Secret Transmission Podcast and listen to us try to explain the unexplainable.
Follow us on Twitter for updates on shows.
At Secret Trans Pod. That's SecretTransPod.
Or you can email us suggestions.
At SecretTransmission@hotmail.com. That's SecretTransmission at hotmail.com.
This is Let's Talk Flicks.
We're going to China.
Why are we going to China?
Because they're going to make a Tetris movie.
Tetris?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Oh,
that's
what are they going to do?
You know, literally.
What are they going to come up with next?
Literally, I woke up last
Tetris
week.
A Tetris movie? What the fuck?
I woke up last week in a cold sweat saying, oh, my God, I want a Tetris movie. And then, bam.
There
Tetris
you go.
Tetris movie comes.
Let's Talk Flicks, Wednesday night at 9:30, right here in the Podcast Radio Network.
Hey guys, this is Bill.
This is Phineas.
And together, we're the Tattooed Bananas. We do a comedy podcast, and on our comedy podcast, we talk about all kinds of wacky crap, like...
Nutscaping.
I'll tuck you in tonight.
Turning your funeral into a funeral.
Can I have an ice pop? Can I have a candy?
Dick fishing, furniture banging, and so much more. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and connect with us with the Potter and Family hashtag on Twitter...
Yeah, don't forget to check out the Instagram. Throw a bag of bagels at someone's head.
And we're back. But John, I was talking before the break. You know, one thing that got me really jazzed up about this Hellblazer run so far is the addressing of continuity. And with Len's run, it was, I think me as a fan, I was really clamoring. I really wanted to kind of, for things to be addressed to see where Swampy was in the new DCU. And to be honest, he wasn't. It was just a fun Swamp Thing story, right? You get your bang for your buck. So now, with the whispers, everything else, if there would be another Swamp Thing ongoing, do you want this kind of stuff to be addressed? I mean, do you want this tied up? Or do you think DC's even going to bother tying it up?
I do think that they will. And I think that's what they're doing kind of now is tying up a few of the loose ends and letting us know what mattered, which again, when it's Swampy, it all matters.
Of course.
But, you know, Lynn and Kelly's book, it was a fun story. It only touched upon a little bit of the continuity, but I consider it more of a reset. And again, going back to that, I always thought of it as, to me, it seemed like Swamp Thing Rebirth, because you were getting a fresh start, not really new scenery, but new supporting cast, new villains, and you had just a whole bunch of good shit in there. And then Hellblazer, which is picked up after that, you know, because that was only solicited for a 6-issue, you know, mini. Hellblazer picks up with that, of course, has Swampy in it. I think they're touching on the continuity here so that they can go back to those characters. And when they go back to those new supporting cast and everything, maybe in a new Swampy book, here's hoping, fingers crossed, that some of the continuity will be addressed and they can gradually, you know, address a little bit more. But I just don't think that DC would say, hey, we need you to tie Swampy to Batman and have a character called Darcy Fox and then never use her again. I don't think they would be like, okay, create this awesome badass zombie named Laszlo and then never use him again. You know, I really think that they're going to go back to that story. And even that professor, you know, from that god-awful college, I really think all that stuff is going to be...
Yeah, Professor Crisp.
Yeah, yeah. I consider that mini, which also is out next Wednesday, by the way. So in everybody trade should pick up the trade on called The Dead Don't Sleep.
Yes, of course. We always say go pick up as much Swamp Thing as you can. I mean, but it was also your theory that Tefe is coming back, that she's going to be reestablished some way. You know, and this is something that you're hedging your bets on. You believe this is like Constantine giving Chaz that role, saying go bet on the knob, or Boris, whatever his name's knob. You feel the knob.
I'm just feeling that she's coming back. I think that that'll be something that comes back. I really, really do. But I would like to answer your question in a mm-hmm. Swamp Thing story. I would like for them to go ahead and get the continuity out of the way right now
mm-hmm.
in a non-Swamp Thing book, kind of like they're doing with Hellblazer. That way, when Swampy starts and in his inevitable ongoing, which eventually one day will happen, be it short term or long term or whatever,
right.
I really think that they could start fresh and give us some new stories.
I hope this continuity stuff sticks, man. I mean, because we've already discussed in the past, like I've buried it and now I've been teased with it. It's like, oh, I do want it. I do want it after all.
But that's what Rebirth is about. It's about letting us know what counts in the new status quo, even though it all counts. In my opinion, it's about officially what counts. And I think, you know, Lynn.
Yeah, maybe that's why they didn't call it Rebirth. I was going to say, maybe that's why they didn't call this, because you have commented in the past that it was so much like a rebirth. It was basically yeah. Swamp Thing Rebirth, right? But they didn't call it Rebirth. No. And maybe this is the reason why.
Yeah. He said that he was going to kind of start in his own sandbox, and he wasn't going to discount anything, but he was going to start there. And then he had plans later to address things. Well, we've obviously not gotten to that later, and hopefully DC gives him the chance to give us that later mm-hmm. to where we can follow up with that. But I think that they're addressing a few of the little things right now, because according to this Hellblazer book that's currently on stands, it seems like Moore's run counts, Nancy's run counts from things
right.
that I've read into
Rick
here.
Veach.
It
yeah.
really seems like the only thing that Yavich, it really seems Soul. Like the only thing that might not count is, oh goodness, who did the Swampy series where it was about Tefe when she was older?
Brian K. Vaughan.
Brian K. Vaughan. It really seems like that might be the only thing that is kind of left out right now.
Yeah, who knows?
But if you think about it, if 10 years was taken away from the DC universe, it would be those 10 years because she would be a kid again. So that kind of makes sense. And I'm not saying this is official. This is just what I am picking up.
Well, like I said, maybe that's the reason why they wouldn't call that Rebirth. Even though it came out at the same time, the Rebirth books were basically rocking and rolling, you know, because now maybe they are establishing some form of continuity in this Hellblazer book. I don't know. I dig it. So. I think
this is going to lead into a Swamp Thing Rebirth. I really do. I feel it in my bones.
Yeah. Well, that's cool, man, because I really want it. Everybody out there listening, I mean, of course, they want it too. They must be Swamp Thing fans. They're checking out the Parlapod. But damn, I'm loving this friggin' continuity. I can't get over it. And that's scoring major points with me right now in this series. Major points. Since we are running out of time, let's do some other shout-outs. You know what? For ourselves! Because next week, we are Sister Pod Splurch. I'm on that podcast. Oh, thank you. And I will be talking about crap ton, lot of, holy crap. We're going to talk about the comic Blue Devil. Blue Devil was something I was really into when I was a kid, and I hop back into it now, and I'm going to give my impressions on this series. Jeez, what is it, 30-some-odd years later? So tune in and check that out. We are on every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on podcastradionetwork.net. You can find us on parlapod.com, at Parlapod on Twitter, and of course, our favorite group in the whole wide world, the Parliament of Trees Facebook group. And like John said, it's a Swamp Thing appreciation society, if you will, where, again, pros and fans, and we all meet up and we just talk about our love for the character. And it's really the coolest place to be if you dig Swamp Thing. There is no other place to go to discuss Swampy. So go check it out. Join up. We love you. Come join us. What are you waiting for? What do you think about that promo? It's pretty good, huh? I should become a pitchman.
That was a kick fucking ass promo, Dave.
Thanks, bud. I needed some reaffirming on that. But anyway, I want to thank everybody out there for listening. We appreciate it. And if you ever want, drop us a review on iTunes. It always helps us out. And until next time, this is Dave.
This is John. Everybody stay green.
All right. Talk to you laters.